Good evening, everybody. Matt would not be happy with this. Neither would Dana. That's not a very good evening, you know what I mean? Good evening, everybody. Oh boy, it's getting dark early. It seems like it's getting dark earlier, and then the time changes. Is that next week? Time change? Anyways. Is it next week? Thanksgiving? No, not even close. Okay. Forget I said that. Someone's going to change their clock. Show up at the wrong time for the meeting. Okay. Forget I said that. Don't record that. I've been thinking about wisdom for some time. I've been reading a variety of books, and it just so happens to be what's been on my heart. Hopefully my technology works with me, because as I created this, I realized that I could use my iPad and maybe freely walk around and change my slides, and I thought that would be neat. So I put my notes on there and everything, and I didn't print them out in paper copy. And then I realized that when you have an iPad and an Apple computer, they do link together and they do talk, except you need to be on the same Wi-Fi network, which of course we don't have here. So last minute, at the 11th hour, I realized I can actually connect it by hardwire, and so I won't be moving too far. But anyways, it should all work, I think. If not, I'm just going to go off of what I remember. But let's start this morning by asking the Lord to bless our time together. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you today. We just want to thank you for blessing us like you have. We thank you for your precious word and what it has for us. And Lord, as we consider wisdom, the wisdom of man, and the wisdom of God, Lord, we just pray that there might be something new here that someone can glean from your word. And Father, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts, that you would encourage us in your word this evening, and that there would be something that we could each take home and grow closer to you with as a result. I pray that you would use me in this way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I know what all of you are thinking, but probably don't want to say, so I'll say it. Why is he doing a message on wisdom? And I thought you would think that. I thought ahead of time. I thought they're going to think, why is he, of all people, doing a message on wisdom? I kind of thought of you, Joe, actually, when I thought of that. You happened to be laughing the loudest, and I thought, you know what? I knew they were going to say that, so I did have an answer to that question. I'm thinking the exact same thing. That's my answer to that question. No, in all honesty, I've been going through some of the Proverbs, I've been reading through Kings and 1 Corinthians, and so I'm going to share with you some of those things. A little bit of this is repetitive for those who have been at youth group, a couple of you, the last two Saturdays. You see, we've only had two youth groups, and so I've been doing the messages, and so I've just been coinciding with when I was speaking and things that have been on my heart, so I've been sharing some of this gleaning with them on Saturday nights in a much more condensed version, obviously, recognizing the group that we have, and of course, the young people that are coming out. There are a few that are bringing their friends, and I've encouraged them to bring their friends, but just as an item of prayer, continue to pray for the youth group. It's very small right now, maybe a core of 6 to 8, but they've been inviting their friends out, so some new young people have been coming out the last 2 weeks, and we've only had it for 2 weeks, and that's the reason for it, really, is an outreach. And that outreach is a very important outreach. I mean, when I think of myself and so many of the young people when I was in high school who came to the assembly here just for a youth group, not knowing anything else, and, you know, here I am today. The Lord used that to speak to me at that time, and there are so many others. Unfortunately, some have fallen away. We need to continue to pray for them as well. And so as we continue here this morning, I want to talk to you first about the person who is the one we would probably think about when we think of wisdom in the Bible, and that is, of course, Solomon. So if you have your Bibles, I don't know if that's really what Solomon looked like. Found that on the internet, so maybe that's not the wisest choice on my part, but I have no idea what he looks like. But if you have your Bibles if you could turn with me, please, to 1 Kings chapter 3. And we're just going to read a few verses. I shared this the first week with the young people. 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 3 to 14. And this is what we read. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." I'm just going to pause there for a second. Keep your fingers there. We're going to continue reading. I asked the young people, I said to them, if God said to you, ask what it is, whatever you want, ask. I said, don't tell me. I don't want to hear what you would answer. But I said, think about what you would ask. And we paused for a moment. And then I said, why don't some of you tell me what you think other people or people in general might ask for? And of course, the same items came up. Riches, unlimited riches or wealth, fame, power, those types of things. And then I said, well, those are all things that I could see a lot of people asking for. I said, let's see what happens here as we continue through in 1 Kings. And Solomon said in verse 6, you have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O Lord, my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go out or to come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for your understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has been before you, and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days. And so, of course, we see here that Solomon asks for wisdom. And I said to the young people, it's kind of ironic that it was actually quite a wise request. Because as they had mentioned to me, most people would ask for these material things, and yet Solomon, recognizing his need, he recognized that he was in this position as king, and he was in charge of all these things, and he had no idea what he was doing. And so he asked for wisdom and discernment, and God gave him that. On top of that, he gave him, because he didn't ask for these things, he gave him both riches and honors. And honor. So God offers to Solomon what he wishes and gives it to him. And so here we see the importance of being wise and choosing the things of wisdom versus the things of the world. And the message for the young people last week was this: where can we find wisdom? And we talked about finding wisdom in the Word of God, and by reading the Word of God daily, and by digging deeper into the Word of God, not only reading it, but studying it and meditating on it as we read in the Word. And the world really has a grip on many, many people. Probably all of us to some extent, I would say, in one way, shape, or form. And for young people, it really, really does. I work in a high school, and I see it day in and day out. The items, whether it's the latest cell phone or the latest pair of shoes or types of clothing that they wear, it's all to fit in. It's quite ironic in a way, but it seems to be what drives them. And it was really trying to push the point into their minds that these are things that are fleeting. These are things that aren't important. And although Solomon was young and inexperienced, he did make a wise request of the Lord. And they have the opportunity to learn about that wisdom and to read about that wisdom and to study about that wisdom in the Word of God. And so I encourage them to do that that first Friday. And so That was the first part of the wisdom that we talked about, was the wisdom that Solomon sought by the Lord. But this past Saturday, so last night, was a little bit more about the wisdom of God. And I wanted to share that with them. And so we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And if you have your Bibles, I'd ask you to turn there, please. We looked at the wisdom of God through the cross and through the death of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, many verses that you probably are familiar with. This is what we read. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God, through wisdom it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And I shared with them, as I would, I guess, share with you tonight, that we have an understanding of the cross that many people don't have and many people don't see as relevant in today's world and in today's society. And so we have the opportunity to seek wisdom and learn about wisdom. And we talked a little bit about the cross of Christ and how it was God's plan that Jesus Christ should come to this earth and die, that God himself would sacrifice his son. And that was something that didn't seem like a very wise plan in a human, from a human perspective, because the cross is something to be shamed. It was a shameful death that the Lord would have had. And so as we looked at these verses, we started at the beginning here. It works okay, good. I remember thinking and chatting a little bit with them, have you ever heard a message that seemed to be crystal clear about the gospel, and yet there was somebody in the room that you knew that was there that wasn't a believer, and you sat there and you heard the message, and you thought to yourself, that person must have really heard what those people were saying, or whoever was preaching, and must have really stirred in their heart, and yet they seemed to walk away sometimes unfazed. It was a good message. They might say, and they walk away, and you think, how can they have sat there and heard that and not been saved? And for some, it's because the cross is foolishness. They come in and they put in their time. Maybe not to this same degree. I remember having a discussion with my wife back a while ago when my sister Cindy and Dave were coming to our house every, I think it was Thursday nights. Was it Thursdays or Tuesdays? Yeah, Thursday nights. And we had been sharing the gospel with my sister. And Thursday after Thursday, I remember we'd have a short little Bible study. I think we were going through the book of John. And we'd have a discussion afterwards, and they would leave, and Tanya and I would say, I don't know why she doesn't understand it. So one Thursday we asked Gary McBride to come over. He was in town, I think, and he came over, and we had a same thing. We did our study and we had our conversation, and they left, and we talked about you behind your back, Cindy. I'm just telling you that now. So but we talked about it. I remember Gary McBride saying, all you can do is throw out the life preserver. You know, they need to know that they need a savior. Now, to that degree, my sister definitely didn't say that the message of the cross was foolishness, but she didn't quite see it. There are some, of course, who want nothing to do with it. It's foolishness. It's a joke. It's a fairy tale. That's not for me. There's no wisdom in that. I need something scientific, or I need something else. But I just remember that situation with my sister. And then, of course, I remember having conversations with her after she was saved and saying, well, I didn't see things, and now I see things differently. And then there are other people you think, how can they not see it? But the death of the cross was associated with shame, and dishonor, and there is nothing about the cross that appeals to human wisdom. And so there are people that see it as complete foolishness. It doesn't make sense to them. That would not be the way to save somebody. But to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. And if you have experienced this change like I have, you would understand it. It's really difficult, I think, for me anyways, to explain. But if you've experienced it, you know what I'm talking about. For those who have been saved, you get it. You see it. You can listen to message after message, and it's there. And yet there are some people who hear messages, and it's unfazed, or they want nothing to do with it, and you can't quite understand why it is. One thing I just want to point out in this first verse here is that there are only two classes of people. There's those who are being saved, and there's those who are perishing. That's offensive to some people. I know it is, because they've told me. And Isaiah prophesies here in this next portion. It's from Isaiah chapter 29, verse 14. Should come up, yeah. And that it's going to be offensive to human wisdom, that the wisdom of God, the way of the cross, the death, is going to be offensive. And it is offensive. You know, I was thinking about what Matt shared a little bit this morning about praying for those people who are in charge, who are in our government, and often we're complaining about them, but they need to be saved, and it's our job to pray for them. It's our job to share with them the gospel, but it may be offensive to many. Well, it will be offensive. I shouldn't say it may be. There will be people who will be offended by the nature of it, just by the way it is. They will say it doesn't make sense. But Paul then challenges the people. He says three things. He says, where is the wise? Where is the scribe? And where is this disputer of this age? You see, man cannot come to God through his own wisdom, even though man would try. Man would say the cross is foolishness. The wisdom of God through the cross of Christ is foolishness. And Paul challenges and says, where are these people? And then he emphasizes in his fourth question, it's sort of a rhetorical question, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Because it pleased God that through the preaching of the cross and Christ crucified, the message that's foolish to men, that those who believe would be saved. And that's probably most of us here today. I pray and I hope. And yet we see in our world today the wisdom of man using philosophy or science or whatever they do, anything but the cross of Christ, because the cross of Christ is foolishness. And then we read later on that the Jews sought signs. They would believe. The Greeks sought wisdom through reasoning and logic. But Paul was not a sign-loving Jew, nor was he a wisdom-seeking Greek. He was a Savior-loving Christian. And we think about the sign of the cross and the wisdom of the cross. The Jews were looking for a mighty leader. They were looking for someone who would save them from the Roman oppression that they had, that they were under. And so to them, it was a stumbling block. The gospel offered a Savior who was nailed to a tree, who was nailed to the cross, who died a shameful death. And to them, that didn't make any sense. They wanted somebody mighty. And yet, there are so many in the world that would be similar, I find. I had some discussions maybe about a week and a half ago with a friend of mine, the chance to share the gospel. It was actually kind of an out-of-the-ordinary scenario, I guess, and it wasn't even, to be honest, it wasn't even started by me. The discussion wasn't started by me. The person that I was with started the discussion, and the person was talking about some of the big items. You know, if God really loves people, you know, how could he have let 9/11 happen? If God is really a God that's in control of everything, how could he allow the Holocaust to happen, these awful, awful situations? And so those signs in some way for this person were signs that God is not really in control, or God really didn't care. At least that was his take on it. It makes me think a little bit about God's sovereignty and his free will that we heard about, or not his free will, and our free will that we heard about this morning. I tried to explain it, probably not as good as Matt did this morning, because I thought you did a really good job, and it was very clear. And as I stumbled through and tried to explain to this person how God is in control, and yet we have a free will, he didn't quite understand it. He didn't get it, because in his mind, God should step in certain situations that he felt, I guess, were situations that needed to be stepped in on. These two cases were those, the ones for sure that he thought. And he would come up with scenario after scenario as we discussed it. And yet I tried to explain to him that he didn't want that the justice of God to be coming down, because it would have to come down on everybody, including myself. Actually, he did bring up, he's been here before, and he did bring up coming to the chapel. And he said, you know what kind of people? There are some people who do bad things at your chapel. There are some people who have done things that they shouldn't have done. There are people that continue to do that. And I said, yes, I know. I said, I'm actually one of them probably, because we all are. That's why we're here. I said, if Grace Bible Chapel was a place where everybody was perfect, well, I wouldn't belong. That's the truth. You know, and he didn't have much to say about that, except it didn't make sense. And so he understood that there was a heaven, because I asked him, I said, do you believe in heaven? Yes, I believe in heaven. Do you believe in God? Yes, I believe in God. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his son? Yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, his son. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, his son, that God sent Jesus Christ, his son, to this earth to die for our sins? And he said, yes, I believe all those things. And I said, well, then how do you get to heaven? Simple question, I thought. And he said, I'm pretty sure that there are people that might go to your church that are worse than I am. He said, I'm not perfect. I've done bad things, but there must be people who are worse than I am. And if I continue to try my best and do my best, then I should be getting into heaven. He said, do you mean to tell me that there are people who might be worse than me that could get into heaven because they believe in Jesus? And if I don't believe in Jesus, even if I'm better than they are in terms of the way I act, I wouldn't get to heaven. And I said, yeah, he was offended. He was offended. It was a very long conversation, but he was quite offended at that. And I tried to explain to him that it wasn't by anything that he could do. It wasn't by anything that anyone could do. I actually said to him, I said, if you could get to heaven on your own, if you could get to heaven by your good works or, you know, changing the things you do or whatever it is, I said, you understand that Jesus Christ came to this earth and died on the cross, right? For our sins. Yes, I understand. I said, why would God send Jesus Christ to die for our sins, his only son, to die on the cross, if you could get to heaven on your own? If you could do it, then why did he doesn't need to send his son to die on the cross? It didn't make sense. He didn't really have an answer to that. He said, well, I don't really know. He said, but I just know that I'm better than some people, I think, at your church, and it doesn't make sense that they would go to heaven and I would. And I then tried to continue in to talk about the thief on the cross who had no opportunity to change his ways because he was already knocking on death's door, so to speak, and yet he would go to heaven and the other one wouldn't. But it was an interesting conversation, to say the least. And I left, believe it or not, I left the conversation. It was very cyclical because you keep coming around to this stuff. And I left frustrated, but I also left encouraged. It kind of sounds weird, and I thought about it for the rest of the day, because it was kind of the start of my day. And I thought about it for the rest of the day, and I was frustrated that I felt like I needed to say more, but I didn't know what else I could say to, you know. And then I was encouraged, because I thought, you know what? The fact that this person started this conversation with me, the fact that these questions continued to come up, and it bothered this person quite a bit. Our discussion bothered this person quite a bit. Was kind of an encouragement in the sense that I knew that he was thinking about things of the Lord. And they were bothering him to some degree, obviously, because he just had to have this conversation with me. Like I said, I didn't start it. And I just thought I need to let go and let God and just leave it at that. Oftentimes I feel like I need to find something else, or I need to share something else, and I'm going to find that nugget, if you will, and that's going to, you know, the light's going to go on, or the switch is going to go on, and I need to let go of that. I need to know that I can share with them the gospel, but let God do the work, And so I needed to let go and let God. And so I've been praying for this friend of mine daily, and I've been thinking about it ever since. It was about a week and a half ago, and it was interesting how the Lord puts those things in our way. And so when I thought about this portion and the Jews, you know, are looking for a sign, I really felt that when I had this conversation, that's what this person was kind of looking for, like a sign. And the sign has to be the sign that suits that person. And the Jews wanted a certain sign. And that Christ coming to this earth and dying on the cross, a shameful death, like that was not the sign they were looking for. And in some ways, the people we talk to every day, that's not the sign they're looking for. That's not what they want to hear. They want to hear, you know, they want their ears tickled, some people, and they want to hear all those good things. And then Paul goes on and says that cross to the Greeks, it was foolishness. Of course, the Greeks were philosophers, and they sought wisdom and conversation, and didn't make sense. It couldn't have been something like this, a death on the cross, because a death is like an end. It's something that finishes. It's not something that's wise. It seems like it's something that's foolish. And so the cross to the Greeks was foolishness. And so I thought about Christ being crucified and the wisdom of God, and I thought, isn't it such a perfect and wonderful plan that God had? I mean, there's nothing that we could have done. There's nothing, absolutely nothing that we could have done. And yet in God's wisdom, in God's love, he set forth a plan, knowing that sacrifice of animals over and over again would not wash away our sins. It would cover them up. And that the only way would be through the death of his one and only Son, the spotless Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the cross for our sins. A plan that would never have come from a human mind whatsoever. And so to those who are called, to us brothers and sisters, the cross is the power of God. It is the wisdom of God. And, you know, I was thinking about that, and it's our responsibility to, it's not working, sorry. There's a picture, but it's okay. It's our responsibility to share that with people. And as I considered my last couple of weeks with the youth, I've prayed that they understood that they ought to seek wisdom versus worldly things. That they would understand that the wisdom of God doesn't seem wise to men at all. And people seek signs, but God's wisdom is in Christ being crucified for their sins and for our sins. And our responsibility, just like with my friend, is to share the gospel, share the good news, and let God do the work. And so I know this is not an all-comprehensive portion on wisdom at all, but just maybe a springboard to hopefully whet your appetite into maybe looking deeper and digging deeper into the wisdom of God and the wisdom of the Word of God. Before we close in prayer, I'd like to maybe sing in closing. I am early. I'm sure I've been late before. Number 554. If you don't mind, Mom, sorry. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever, through eternal years the same. Take the world, but give me Jesus, sweetest comfort of my soul. With my Savior watching o'er me, I can sing, though billows roll. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Let me view his constant smile. Then throughout my pilgrim journey, light will cheer me all the while. Take the world, but give me Jesus. In his cross, my trust shall be. Till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face, my Lord, I see. I wonder if we could sing all four verses of 554, and afterwards I'll just close in a word of prayer, please. Eternal years the same. Oh, the heart. this life above. But give me Jesus, sweetest comfort of my soul, with my Savior watching o'er me, I can sing though billows roll. Height and depth of mercy, oh the length and breadth of love, oh the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life. Constant smile, then throughout my pilgrim journey, light will cheer me all the while. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life. Take the world, but give me Jesus. In his cross my trust shall be, till with clearer, brighter vision, face to face my Lord I see. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the life above. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Father, as we have come to you this evening and just briefly glanced at your wisdom, the wisdom that was given to Solomon, to seek your wisdom first and foremost over riches and honor. And Father, as we considered the cross, that your perfect plan and your wisdom, that the Lord Jesus Christ would die on the cross for our sins. We know that many will seek signs and many will seek after wisdom, and this won't be it. It's foolishness to them, but Father, to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so, Father, as we continue tonight, we just pray that you would bless us as we depart, that you would speak to us through your word, that you would give us the wisdom that we need when we're sharing with those about your Son, about the cross, that you would help us to have opportunities and to use the opportunities that we have for your glory, that we could preach Christ crucified, and that they would, their eyes would be opened and souls would be saved, Father. We pray that you bless us as we depart this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.